back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two on this Monday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Coming up in the next segment, we have Eric H. Jones, who is the senior editor for Courtroom Watch. He's going to be coming on to talk about a number of issues, the censorship and silencing of journalists, specifically Gary Hunt, as well as the Bundy situation and the Mar Wildlife Refuge situation that we saw taking place, and the status of the people who were at the Mar Refugee Wildlife, as well as the people who are in jail now, still for the Bundy Ranch incident. And yeah, to set this up,
horrible.
We have John Robertson coming on in just a second, but I'm going to toss it over to you for your...
Yeah, you know, I want to make sure people know, if you go on our YouTube channel, Gary Hunt was on our program on February 10th, and what we did was we brought that back, and John's going to explain, as you said, Joe, the backstory behind the incarceration of Gary Hunt, which I received the information, I think it was late Friday night, and I researched it over the weekend, and frankly, I don't believe that Mr. Hunt should be in prison, and should have been tagged or arrested. And the reason being is I'm going to put that off for a minute because there are a lot of reasons, not the least of which was he was citing open source information, republishing open source information was not the origin of it, but republishing it, and the feds said take it down. He didn't take it down, and of course it was being held in contempt. That would be akin to your seeing or you having a website or a blog or whatever, or even on social networking and reposting information that, of course, has been out in the public domain. And then you, of course, because of your stance, your position, your outspokenness against the government, being tagged and having the feds knock on your door and say, look, you've got to take this down or we're going to arrest you. And then you say, wait a minute, it's already out there. Yeah, I could take it down, but it's not going to make a difference. And then, of course, being arrested from there. That's kind of the short story on Gary Hunt, but nonetheless, it's an important one, I believe. But you know, Joe, regardless, we are living, we can't stop living, you know, regardless of the news, the dire headlines and what have you. And I know that there are people out there who are just incredibly hard to shop for, or they've just, they might be having a birthday coming up or perhaps an anniversary coming up. But Joe and I have got the answer for those people wanting to buy that special gift for someone. We recommend the gift of flowers, the gift of, everything that comes along with flowers. Go to proflowers.com. You know, we can make gift giving easy for you. This is incredibly easy. ProFlowers has really done me well. In fact, they've gotten me out of a couple of pickles, shall we say, very quickly, very easily. ProFlowers is our go-to for flowers, by the way. And everyone loves flowers. Every woman I know loves flowers. Go to ProFlowers.com. ProFlowers, their flowers, they're fresh. They're priced right. And they're the perfect gift for literally anyone. And they get delivered straight to the recipient's door. Now, guys, how easy is that? But let me tell you about a special offer. Right now, ProFlowers has a special offer just for you. If you are listening to this program, you can get $10 off your purchase of $29 or more. That's a fantastic deal. This deal works on best-selling gifts like their 100 Blooms bouquet. This is one of my wife's favorites, along with the roses. In fact, she just raves over the 100 Blooms bouquet with the special vase. That's her favorite. And I try to get that for her at least once a month. Hint, hint, guys. Because, she does a lot of work behind the scenes. And, she's special. She deserves it. Guys, and I know your wife deserves it as well. Or maybe that special someone. How about a daughter? Just to say thanks. Or I love you. Or a sister. Well, to snag this great deal, just go to proflowers.com. Enter the code Hagman at checkout. That's H-A-G-M-A-N-N at checkout. You know, if I can do this in under 2 minutes, pick out the flowers and the special exquisite vase that they've got, you can do it, guys. You can do it too. Pro Flowers bouquets are guaranteed to be fresh for 7 days or your money back. And we've had flower arrangements last, fresh flower arrangements last, a good 2 weeks. Easy. They have a 7-step quality check, which means that the flowers are always awesome. Their website is super easy to use. You can schedule your delivery ahead of time for any date you want and get back to your day. Pro Flowers is a no-brainer gift for a birthday, an anniversary, every occasion, or just no occasion at all. My favorite. Anytime when you want to make her feel special. Take care. They take care of all the details. Guys, folks, do yourself a favor and help out our show by supporting Pro Flowers. I know that you either have a birthday or anniversary coming up. Someone you know you care about. So right now, get $10 off your purchase of $29 or more at ProFlowers. But this deal, guys, I'm going to tell you, it's not going to last long. So do it today. Just go to ProFlowers.com, enter the code Hagman at checkout to get this very special deal. And remember, you can put a smile on her face and still wrestle with the headlines in the news. Right? I mean, the news doesn't sound like it's getting any better. And I know, Joe, that you and I spoke before the show about Susan Rice. I really believe, Joe, just real quick, and I don't know, I know that we spoke, but did you see the news when it first broke about Susan Rice? Because I had mentioned Ben Rhodes last week, and I had mentioned, of course...
And I said Loretta Lynch.
Well, yeah.
You said Brennan and Clapper.
Right, Brennan and Clapper. It stands to reason that if you have a Susan Rice unmasking and taking that public, there are, to me, in my view anyway, there are co-conspirators. And there's no way that Rice would do this without Brennan's either complicity or approval, certainly approval, but complicity and even some facilitation, I believe. And that goes for Clapper as well.
Well, have we seen any? Have we seen any corroborating evidence that she was the lead? I mean, I know that apparently Bloomberg and New York Times reporters had this information for a while now.
Yeah,
at least that's speculation that's being reported. They, and they were they said or some of this the comment said that they had held on to it for trying to protect the Obama administration and Obama's legacy. Now, whether they really did sit on this information or not, I'm not sure. But there was two separate, it looked like, points
I don't
where it
buy
came
that.
Out immediately that Mike Centrovich broke the story, and then another reporter from, I think it's Bloomberg, is being credited with breaking this story.
You've got a couple of online journalists, or print and online journalists, that Michael Centrovich, I believe, tweeted that out. I think it was the night before last, but regardless, the knowledge was there for, I believe, for quite a bit of time. I don't see how they can get, when I say they, I'm talking about the previous regimes, people can get away with this. And I think it was deliberate on the part of Donald Trump and his people to roll this out the way he did. Nunes as well. And you notice that what has Adam Schiff said about this? Crickets. What has, anybody said about this? The left, MSNBC in particular, they're downplaying this whole thing. They're saying, well, that this is really no big deal because of Obama's expansion of the right before he left, his expansion of who gets this information and who has access to this information. But the bottom line on this, at the end of the day, I do believe that there is some, I would suspect there's some criminal culpability on the part of Susan Rice. Given the fact, and also look at her in the way, through, as Matt Bracken said, through the lens of Benghazi.
Yep.
So there you have it.
She's the one that began the story and narrative about the YouTube video sparking protests, which led to the whole Benghazi thing, which obviously we know that's not true. Hillary Clinton also ran with it, and a number of other people tried to run with that story as well. But no, it will be interesting to see. And we have at the end of the last segment of the program, we have 30 minutes. We're gonna get into this more in that 30 minutes because there are some, you know, interesting things. Susan Rice even came out and said that she had no idea who was behind the unmasking, and you know, just on the 22nd of March, 2 weeks ago.
I think to be accurate, though, Joe, I think to be fair and accurate with respect to her denial was much more Clintonian. It depends on, you know, what the definition of is. She wasn't denying that she didn't know anything about the unmasking. When you go back and look at the transcript
of... Was she denying the surveillance?
She was denying knowledge of a very narrow bit of information. And I'm attempting to remember, who was that interview with? Offhand, I can't think of it. But her response was very measured and very... And the question was very narrow. So, again, a very Clintonian response, but nonetheless, it would be difficult to say that she adhered to the spirit of answering that question in, you know, by telling the truth. Obviously, she didn't. But again, to be technical about it, I suppose we could say, yes, she was honest.
Well, if she gets called in front of Congress, I think the questions will be, if this is where it goes.
You know what? Will she? Will there be any special investigation on this, special prosecutor or independent investigation? I don't know. At this point, look at all of the things taking place right now, and Matt Bracken, again, the previous segment, had done a great job of kind of naming certain things. At this point, it's fighting at the political level, is it not? As opposed to the deep state versus the revealing.
But I think it's still important. I mean,
oh, indeed it is.
And we need to get to the bottom of it. But you're right. All the tools and systems that these people and who these people are and the access they have, is going to continue to go really unchecked, yeah. Which is the main problem.
And you've got Obama, and I mentioned this when I was on with Dave Hodges yesterday. You know, you've got Obama setting up, of course, the Organizing for Action, but you also have Obama, and we had mentioned this before, the legal team that he's got set up, the attorneys, the American Oversight, five-member attorney, American Oversight 501c3 Corporation, which is the legal arm of Obama. Folks, I don't know whether you've heard of that. Again, I'm going to point it out. American Oversight is a 501c3, supposedly nonpartisan, but you've got the founder being Austin Evers, the former State Department lawyer under Obama. You've got Melanie Sloan, a former federal prosecutor who worked for Schumer, and in fact, Joe Biden. You've got, and Melanie Sloan, in case you're wondering. Ms. Magazine once called her the most feared woman in D.C. And three other attorneys. So you've got these five legal eagles operating at the direction of Obama, a 501c3 nonpartisan corporation in D.C. that is going after everything that Donald Trump does and everything that the conservatives are attempting to accomplish. Meanwhile, you've got the conservatives, capital C conservatives, attempting to dismantle Obama's legacy. Obama is not having any of it. Obama wants to stop Donald Trump's foreign and domestic initiatives, and their tactics, their strategies are using nonprofits as a front action groups or front group, using front group activism and lawfare in order to do it. We saw part and parcel of this. We saw with respect to the judges filing against the immigration, Donald Trump's executive action on immigration. And by the way, I was on with George Norrie last night, Coast to Coast AM, during the news segment. Just very briefly before we bring John on, I just want to mention this. You know that there's a ban on electronics. If you're flying in a passenger aircraft, you cannot bring into the passenger compartment anything larger than an iPhone, for example, or a smartphone. You have to leave the tablets and your iPads and computers in checked baggage. Well, the reason for that stems to intelligence collected. This is information I receive now from the Yemen raid on January 29th. Remember, we lost a Navy SEAL during that raid, and three other SEALs were wounded. But there was intelligence there, according to the information I got, that said, look, they were attempting, or they, meaning Al-Qaeda, of the Arabian Peninsula, in particular one Saudi, the head of the bomb expert of Al-Qaeda of the Arabian Peninsula, through one of the airports in the Middle East, has equipment as well as plans of the equipment used at airports, and has successfully created a method to circumvent the mechanical detection of the bombs. If you think about what I'm saying here, this is amazing to me. And that there's an overlap with that, and you'll recall that there was a recent change in the TSA's groping policy. Well, frankly, the information I got is they're looking for the explosives that are evading detection based on information that actually came from hacks within our own intelligence agencies, smuggled to the people, the Al-Qaeda, the Muslim terrorists, Ibrahim al-Siri, the Saudi who was in Yemen, who was one of the targets and continues to be a target of American intelligence. He has developed to get around the mechanical detection of these explosives, and they're capable of being hidden in battery compartments, laptops, as well as iPads. So, and al-Siri is also the mastermind behind the underwear bomber, and his brother was the guy that stuffed explosives up his butt and attempted to assassinate the intelligence minister of Saudi Arabia. Go figure. Talk about a rectum rocket. Anyway, let's bring John on.
John, welcome back to the Hagman Report.
I've been holding the laughter in since rectum rocket. You know, that's a very good example of why you should never be too quick on the mute button, gentlemen. Thanks for bringing me in for a moment this evening. Is my audio okay? Because Todd and I were having a bit of a struggle. Can you read me okay?
You sound like you're talking through a hood. Did somebody have you captive? Blink if they do.
No, you sound good.
Let's try this. Right. Is this any better? Is this any better, gentlemen?
That's fine. Sure. Let's go with that.
Okay. Well, we'll go with the best we can do today. Suffice it to say, it's been a Monday on this end. But what I wanted to share with the folks, just really briefly here this evening, before we bring our next guest, Mr. Eric Hughes Jones, on from courtroomwatch.org, I just wanted to remind all the listeners of the big picture when we look at the disposition of our guest from back in February, Mr. Gary Hunt. And folks, that's Gary Hunt, outpostoffreedom.com. When we look at what has been termed in the media the wars of the West, there are really five different places where listeners would benefit from having a very comprehensive understanding of what has been going on in the Western United States. Now, it's understood.
Now we're starting to have Trump, John.
Yeah, John, okay. Assume Fox viewing positions. No. Bear with me. You're fading out there, brother. And John.
Are we any better, gentlemen? Any better?
Okay. Yeah, just don't move, and let's hope the wind doesn't blow. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, and I do apologize. Todd and I were trying to fix it before I came on air. So I'll move very quickly tonight. Doug, what we see through everything that our first hour guest, Matt Bracken, described is simply it all points to the fact that without a free press, the independent-minded thinkers that comprise the vast percentage of the Hagman and Hagman listening family, we can't do our jobs. Without a free press, we have no working end of this massively knotted rope that is the 24-hour news cycle. So we need to approach our time with Mr. Jones this evening from courtroomwatch.org with a couple of questions in mind.
Okay, John, we lost sound on you here, and I have a feeling it's our internal interface. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay.
I'm going to have Todd bring...
Folks, you didn't lose sound. We lost sound here, I believe, with John. Let me see if he's on. Is he still on?
I don't know, but it's definitely the interface on our end because I can see when he's dropping off the stream button flashing red.
Thank
goodness Eric's back tomorrow.
Yeah, Eric, the tech, is coming back tomorrow, and this is, again, we are broadcasting out the three different platforms, folks. You have to understand that, and I apologize. But if this doesn't clear up in the next 3 minutes, we might have an issue. There we go. Now it's a party. You can hear it live.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much, folks.
There we go.
Thank you for your patience this evening, folks. We can use your prayers in the chat and across the listening audience. Bottom line is, I want the listeners to really engage with our interview with Mr. Eric Hughes Jones from courtroomwatch.org. with the following thoughts at the very front and center of your mind this evening, folks, because we're talking about nothing short of the freedom of the press to inform us. And we are all very independently minded around the Hagman and Hagman campfire. If we cannot ascertain information in as pure a form as possible, in as unbiased form as possible, then none of us can do our jobs. How can we have discernment? How can we mitigate the thoughts and the issues of our day if we do not have a start point from which to work? So, Doug, what I wanted to run by you, and folks, please take note of these questions, because right now, in the case of Mr. Gary Hunt, again, that's Gary Hunt, outpostoffreedom.com. His links are in the show notes. We have a couple of questions that we need to examine. The largest that I can see, gentlemen, is, did Mr. Hunt inadvertently become passionate about the subject matter and perhaps slip from journalist to activist, or did the government overreach their authority in this case? And in order to answer that question, we need to examine the following. The first and foremost important, and Doug, you and I spoke about this Saturday morning, where did Mr. Hunt get the names of the confidential informants who are on record admittedly having received $25,000 apiece from the FBI to infiltrate the occupation force at the Malheur Preserve back in January of 2016. Now, folks, you'll recall that occupation, whereas it was constitutionally a correct procedure, socially and culturally, it was an offensive move completely opposite the defensive posture of 2 years previous at Bundy Ranch. But that being said, it's important to ask this question, folks, as we listen to Eric Jones. Where did he get the names? I've heard three different possibilities in the mainstream media. Canada Free Press has a great article up. You'll want to check that out at canadafreepress.com. Also, the Oregonian, very liberal newspaper, has an article that you may want to refer to as well. These are linked in the show notes. If Mr. Hunt, in fact, simply published the names of confidential informants that were already a matter of public record. This is important, folks. If anyone could walk into the federal courthouse in Portland and obtain those documents with a simple Xerox fee, then I would say that Mr. Hunt should be released, and he should be released post-haste. However, there's another bit of reporting out there suggesting that Mr. Hunt took sealed documents that were part of prosecution and defense sharing of the discovery, process. Now, if that's the case, then it is possible, as I mentioned a moment ago, that Mr. Hunt may have inadvertently capitulated from journalist to what I would pose was perhaps more that role of an activist. Now, you have to ask yourself this question, folks. What's the big deal? These confidential informants were perpetrating being in the Patriot movement, and let's be frank, nobody in America really likes a rat. Nobody likes a snitch, right? And these guys were paid $25,000 apiece. But here's the problem. Now, we heard from former FBI agent Joe Pistone last week, a.k.a. Donnie Brasco. And if you haven't heard that interview, go back and listen to it, because it illustrates beautifully the absolute paramount importance of maintaining the confidentiality of agents and police officers working undercover, as well as citizens who are, in fact, confidential informants. If, in fact, Gary Hunt put these people's lives at risk by publishing their names, then we have an issue that's twofold. Number one, it put lives at risk. And number two, it also set bad legal precedent,
John,
for cases.
John, we're at the bottom. We're at the bottom of the hour. Hey, can you hold over, or?
Yeah, why don't you hold me over for 5 minutes?
I'll tell you what, folks. We're
after that.
All right. Sounds good, folks. You're listening to Hagman and Hagman Report. We'll be right back. Stay where we're at.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is, it'll blow you away. Absolutely. Eric said,
it's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family, MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow, it's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Chang Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We are offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Remedies Kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Remedies Kit at www.changeclosewoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. Up next, we've got a really an interesting gentleman. I've been following his work for some time. He's the man behind courtroomwatch.org. Actually, he really became, shall we say, even more relevant. Not that he ever lost relevance, but even more relevant as we watched this over the last 96 hours, the arrest and incarceration of Gary Hunt, who was on our show back on February 10th. And I think this is important to talk about with Eric Hughes Jones, again, the man behind courtroomwatch.com. Before we get back to Mr. Jones, a couple of things. Folks, we're re-rolling out the Hagman Marketplace, HagmanMarketplace.com. If you're a business owner and you are a Christian business owner, you've got a Christian business or a Christian product, I would urge everyone to sign up for that. If you sign up initially and things fell through the cracks because we had a broken infrastructure, send me an email, just in the subject line, Marketplace. You could be part of our Founders Club because of your initial belief in us, but we really want to get this rolling, especially given the antagonistic nature of business today. And this is a friendly Christian, conservative Christian friendly place for you to advertise your business and services. That's HagmanMarketplace.com. So look into that after the program. HagmanMarketplace.com. Rolling that out again. Also, support our sponsors as well, from ProFlowers to MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. What a great, fabulous rocket stove they've got. It's a Cadillac of all stoves, all rocket stoves. It's a 50 caliber ammo can handmade into a rocket stove. And let me tell you something. This packs the punch, the same punch as a kitchen stove. I'm telling you, it's an amazing device. It's got a lid that seals tightly, for transport and storage. And it directs the heat to where it needs to be. Whether you're cooking the long-term storable food or a pot of water or whatever it might be, this is a fantastic instrument for the prepper. Visit MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. Right now, without any further ado, Eric Hughes Jones from CourtroomWatch.com. Mr. Jones, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hi there, Mr. Hagman. Thanks for having me. I appreciate this. And by the way, I love the Minuteman stove. It's the coolest thing, and it looks like you could drive over it with an M1 Abrams tank, and it would be still be fine.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those. Eric, if you can hear us.
We've been having audio problems all day, and I don't know if you can hear us or not.
There you go.
And see, okay. It is linked to our interface, because the same thing's happening with John. Eric, just to let you know, we were having some issues on our interface, and the audio might drop in and out. And we'll let you know when it happens on your end. It's coming from our end, but when you drop out, we'll let you know.
We'll just send up smoke signals, brother. Just look up.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to say I love the Minuteman stove as well. And thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Can you hear me?
Well, thanks for coming on. And kind of, I don't know. Can you hear us?
Yeah, you're coming through just fine.
Can you hear me now? Okay. We got you 5x5 right now. So, all right. And there might be because of these problems, there might be a little bit of a delay. So if I happen or we happen to talk over you, it's not intentional. But Eric, because of the situation, I'm going to turn you loose. Let's talk. Let's talk about what's going on with Gary Hunt and the attack on the media, independent media, against us, against journalists, or what happened in Oregon, what happened wherever you want to start, my brother. Let's just start.
Well, I don't use these words lightly, and I don't say it to be bombastic or exaggerate, but I'm not kidding. There is a massive nationwide persecution and prosecutions in the court of patriots, people who either stood up for their unalienable rights or took a stand against tyranny, spoke out against, and we're talking nonviolent people with no real criminal offense even being accused of them. And for these obscure statutory violations and refusal to take something off the internet,
And just anything that the government can find to take out the most effective patriots recently, and it's going on nationwide, and it's particularly egregious in the community of reporters, which is really scary because people, if the Hagmans of the world go away and the Gary Hunts of the world go away, and it's happening to a man named Pete Santilli right now, love him or hate him, he's still a reporter, you know, and if he's not free, we're not free. A man named Tom LaGuevara, a great reporter from Resurrect the Republic. I fill in for him once in a while now because he's incarcerated for being in the same room with a gun, and he had a minor statutory felony in his past. So that was his issue. And with Pete Santilli, it was reporting from Bunkerville for the Bundy thing in Nevada, the cattle ranchers. And for Mr. Hunt, it's refusal to take down postings on the Internet of information that was totally and entirely public, made public in court in a public proceeding on public record. And so, you know, the court didn't really have any ground to stand on. Even the case of the, what was it, the New York Times versus United States, was it the Pentagon Papers case? The standard was even less, you know, said you can even release confidential classified information if you're a reporter and you get it in a certain way. There was a provision for that. So, I mean, he was well within his boundaries to post whatever he wanted that was not classified, top secret, or sealed by the court, none of which applied in his case. This is why it's so frustrating, and I can see it coming for all of us who report the truth to the people.
Okay, and again, I apologize, Eric. There was some audio that we did not catch that you might have covered this, but with respect to the infiltrators, the confidential informants, the people working on behalf of the FBI, he had identified, or there were over 15, or at least 15, is that correct? And that represented perhaps a majority of people?
Right, it was like 50% of the people that were there were informants working directly for the FBI and getting paid very well to do it. And in the court proceedings that developed, they came out onto the witness stand, out of the closet, so to speak, and they put their hand up and swore an oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and proceeded to commit treason and convict patriots for simply standing on their God-given rights and freedom of property. So, and once they came out and got into the court, you know, into the public eye light, so to speak, their names were made public. They told how much money they made. One guy got $25,000 for what he did. Another woman got $3,000. Yeah, so it's, you know, and then at that point, all bets are off. That's public information. So the court just doesn't like it. The best case scenario is they at least think they have a good reason. They just don't like, it's, from what I've seen, it goes beyond that into a pattern of the government keying in on and developing cases and whatever little weak point they can find. We've all got sins and weak points in our past. You know, you can barely walk out your door today without committing some kind of minor crime, statute violation, code infraction, whatever. So anyway, There really is a pattern now, and I do this, I pay attention to this a lot, so I can, you look into it yourself if you want, everything can be confirmed. All the names I just mentioned are prominent patriot reporters, so to speak, and they've all been locked up for something very obscure, whatever the government can seem to come up with, and it's not getting any better under this administration, and it pains me greatly to say that, because I really kind of used to like Jeff Sessions, and I want it to be good with Donald Trump, I really do. But from what I see, this patriot
persecution
is getting worse. I think Trump could pick up the phone to Sessions and say, hey, any of these patriots who are being dragged into the court for minor statutory violations and there's no living victim to their crime, so to speak, we'll talk about that in a second, the cases should be dropped, especially when they're people who really stood on patriotic principles and did not commit any act of violence or conspiracy to do anything violent. There's nobody injured. This is why the concept that society cannot be a victim is so important to get into people's minds. The state cannot be a victim. If there is not a living, breathing, God-created man or woman that was injured by the actions of another, then there can be no allegation of a crime. The magic entity called society is nothing more than a fictitious entity. And that word was used to me by a New York attorney. That they even know what they're doing. They're creating false entities like estates and corporations and giving them rights and treating us like we're property. And it's clear in the actions of the government and the courts against particularly these reporters who are reporting the, you know, so to speak, the truth media, or the, I hate to call us the alternative media now, because this is where the truth is. It doesn't reside over at CNN or NBC or Fox News. You're not going to hear the real meat and potatoes exactly over there, because there's, for a whole bunch of reasons, which we can talk about later.
Well, okay. All right. And again, take this. This is your time, and we don't like to talk over people or, misdirect your train of thought. So go ahead and tell us what we need to know. But I do think that there's a disconnect among even some of the most informed conservatives and patriots out there about the Oregon standoff, the Bundy situation. People don't quite understand it. And I think that the government has made, and even the media has made this deliberately confusing and convoluted. Can you give us a Cliff Notes version, basically, of why, or is it even relevant to do so, Eric, about like why, you know, the Patriots did what they did in Oregon, for example?
Well, these are important events, because we have patriots standing on principle. In the Bundy case in Nevada, where the ranchers took the cattle back from the government, who had stolen the private property from these ranchers, I mean, you can't justify in any way a federal government coming in to a place where ranchers have grazed and for, you know, hundreds of years, and then all of a sudden just say, you can't do that anymore, and when we find your cattle on the land, we're going to take it. That's just, in no way is that a lawful act by our government in a republic. It's just not. So that was a good stand on principle. I was a little less excited about the Oregon situation, because I thought, you know, just to be honest with you, it was, the risk far outweighed the gain, and they were just setting themselves up to be targets and get really, it didn't, although I had to stand with them anyway, because it's not for me to say where a patriot makes a stand. So I fully supported them. They didn't hurt anybody. Once again, who was injured by a bunch of guys temporarily occupying a building that's owned by the people? And aren't we the people? Aren't they the people? Another concept. This is why I like to get back to fundamentals and the bottom line. The state, which is the fictitious entity that we just talked about, doesn't really exist. If you can't, you have to be a man or woman to show reality. But it cannot be a victim. But it has no substance that can testify, and therefore, how can you confront your accuser if nobody's hurt by a bunch of guys occupying the building, and the state cannot be the people? We are the people. Those guys who occupied the building were the people. So if the federal government is, quote-unquote, a government for the people, they had every right to be there if they weren't hurting anybody. You know, stay away and let the guys make their point on patriotic principles and be gone. So once again, the state cannot be a victim, and the state is not the people. We are the people. So when you go to court and it says the people versus Mr. Smith or Mr. Jones, that's not really the case. It's the state versus one of the people, Mr. Smith. So we have to look at, we've been taught so many things, either by design overtly in the school system or by omission, by what they didn't tell us in the schools. So they're trying to convince the younger people that somehow the state, and this is what makes socialism, the greater good, the society, the state, has a greater overbearing interest. The state is prosecuting you for doing something where there was no actual real victim. All right, cool. Well, let's put Joseph P. State on the stand and have him testify, and I confront my accuser. Oh, really? Society can be a victim? All right, where's Mrs. Susan B. Society? She doesn't exist. You can't put anybody on the stand that actually was injured at either one of those standoffs, except the Finicum family, where LaVoy was assassinated. They have damage, and that was a really sad situation that developed from this. But Anyway, so these concepts are extremely important for people to learn, because it's either this court system comes for everybody. I've seen it drag families in that were good, upstanding, you know, and it just comes after everybody. I could go on and on about the cases, but we'll stay focused on the reporters for tonight, because this is the scariest thing. If they can stifle the information flow, what are you ever going to know? Not much. I mean, imagine if, I mean, there's only three places you hear things. You're either going to hear it, find out information in the schools, from your friends and family, or the media. Now, the schools and the media are putting out disinformation and brainwashing, so really you got your friends and your family, and they're getting their information from the media and the schools. Where do you get the truth? And you get it places like here. So I'm big on education rather than entertainment, and I would rather educate somebody tonight than entertain them. I'm also an activist. I'd rather help one person than entertain a million people. And so I would encourage everybody listening to this, solutions. Try to start caring a little more about the taking back and of this republic. And you can do it by little things, a little bit at a time. Don't get overwhelmed. You can just, I can get into some suggestions on specifics real brief here in a minute, but get to be a little more of an activist. Everybody listening to this broadcast tonight, and, you know, I'm urging you to do something. Even if it's a small thing, even if posting flyers is great. We have over at our website, courtroomwatch.com or .org, you can type in either one, just courtroomwatch, and you'll see a jury nullification flyer. And that is a crucial linchpin in this whole thing. This is the last blockade for an overbearing court system and an out-of-control government, and it's the last enforcer of freedom is the jury. And very important for people to know that with a clear conscience, they can send somebody home not guilty if the law sucks, they can say, go home, you're free, not guilty. You can, even though the judges will intimidate and threaten the jurors before the proceedings, and they'll say, you must only interpret the law this way as I give it to you, and if the state proves his case, you must find him guilty, and if the state doesn't prove his case, well, then you can find innocent. They never frame it from the accused. You must protect the accused by blah, 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 and if the accused, it's always state, 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 state. So through manipulation and intimidation, they drive the jurors into a state of fear. They often stack the jury. I'll talk about that in a second. I've seen that live in person. And they'll push the jury around and tell them that they basically have to vote this certain way if the case is presented a certain way. And that's not true at all. If the law is immoral or unconstitutional, which most of these statutes are, they're not really law, they're statutes, codes, rules, and regulations, they're not legitimate. So anyway, the jury has every right to judge these unconstitutional and immoral statutes and codes during their proceedings. So if they don't like the law, if the law is wrong, or if it's being wrongly applied, then the juror has every right to say not guilty, even though technically the person may have violated the statute in question. It's like the case of Tom LaGuevara. He was in a hotel room that had a gun nearby. It wasn't even his hotel room. It was registered to somebody else he was visiting. And because he was a convicted felon in the same room with a gun that clearly belonged to someone else, I think it was in a woman's purse. It was obviously not his gun. Because he was in proximity, he was charged with possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. And it's so important that people realize that possession requires actual holding, and that's the dictionary definition, requires actual holding or occupancy. So if it's an object, you have to hold it. If it's a house or a car, you could be in it and possess it, but you can't possess something if it's just over there. It has to be in your hand at least for a second. You can touch it for a second and possess it, but it has to be in your hand at some point. And that's not part of the accusation. They have a new word in the courts now called constructive possession. And they've made up a word that says you're in constructive possession of an object if you are nearby it, or it's in your car down the street, or what about walking through a Walmart where there's guns there across the store? Is that constructive possession? They can stretch it to anything. So we can't let the enemy, which is tyranny, have the language. We have to realize that if a government can't prove actual possession, which is actual holding, then there's no case, and they should walk away. This guy, Tom LaGuevara, is locked up in 22 out of 24 hours a day in solitary confinement on a federal gun charge, when the gun wasn't his, it wasn't in his hand. And so they make up a word called constructive possession, and this is how they're dragging a lot of people into the courts. You know, and of course, who was injured by Tom Lacovara sitting in a hotel room that had a gun nearby? No one. They're claiming that maybe in the future society could possibly be a victim if, and that's not a free republic. So anyway, we all have to do something, in my opinion, and if you want to be an activist, go to thecourtroomwatch.com and download the jury nullification flyer. We put it in a nice little PDF so you could just print it out and pass them out. And my suggestion, if you'd like to do something activist and join the freedom fight, this is very low risk, like zero, and it's very, extremely effective. And it doesn't really take very long or any money.
That's an interesting time to cut out.
And print out. And what's that, Doug?
There we go. Whoop. Yeah. No, I apologize.
Where did I cut out?
Just as you were going to tell people, if you really want to be, you know, yeah, we can hear you. You cut out just to the point where you say, if you really want to, you know, make a difference, and then you cut out.
Well, of course, they'd cut me out right there at that point. Would be a perfect time to cut me out. I do believe that there's a lot of technical interference going on, but that'll be for another show. But anyway, if you really want to be effective, download the jury nullification flyer. This is what the government is so afraid of. They're so afraid of the jury saying, hey, that law is really wrong, and I don't believe this guy hurt anybody, so I'm going to vote not guilty. I don't care if he technically broke the statute or not. Doesn't matter. Go home and have a good day. That's what should be happening. And if you want to do something really effective, download the jury nullification flyer. It's in a nice, neat little PDF. You just print them out, and for a couple of bucks in paper and ink and a couple of bucks in gas, drive down to your local county or state or federal courthouse. Usually the lower courts are busier. That's the amazing thing. The tyranny of the local is far worse than the tyranny of the federal right now, just in raw numbers alone. And the atrocities that are being committed to free and innocent people are dramatic at the local level. So just get a bunch of jury nullification flyers, take them down to the county courthouse on jury selection day. We made quite a stir doing this in a recent case in upstate New York, and it almost made a difference, but the jury, it's very important that we educate the jury. They didn't get educated enough in this case. They put some of the charges were guilty, some not guilty, but another victimless crime, and we could talk about that later. But if you want to be an effective activist, download some jury nullification flyers, call the courthouse and ask them, when is jury selection day? And they'll say, oh, whatever, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you go down there on that morning at about 8:30, just before the doors open, and pass those jury nullification flyers out to everybody in line. And it's a pretty clear description of what jury nullification is and what the judge is going to do to try to get them to not do jury nullification, because of the financial interest that the court has in every case that comes through, and I'll talk about that in a minute. They want to create as many guilty verdicts as possible. Just bringing people into the court, whether guilty or not, whatever happens, puts money in the pockets of the court, because every single case that comes through your local town, traffic court, county court, state supreme court, federal, every single case is bonded. And the courts make a great deal of money.
Whoa. This is something John told me this weekend when you and he spoke, and I didn't mean to interrupt, but I did. This is the first I've heard what you now we've got about 2 minutes to the top of the hour here. To me, this is one of the most absurd, hard to believe things I've ever heard. And then I started getting into the information which you have presented about every case is bonded. You're gonna have to take some time on this on the other side, if you don't mind, to explain this, because
sure, love to.
This is bizarre to me, man.
And you're right. You know, you said a whole bunch of stuff in this segment, and the justice system. You know, everybody's supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, but when you go through the justice system, when you're accused of a crime, put on trial, it seems like that is reversed. You are guilty until proven innocent in the eyes of the court, and a lot of times it's set up the way as you described for the jury and anybody who's taking part in the system. And it is very troublesome because, and then you went on to explain how through jury nullification and other, you know, accusing, being able to confront your accuser when the state is the one who's coming after you and victimless crimes, and even having the judge issue warnings to juries when they don't find things in the right context that the judge wants them to, the way they, the court and the judge wants them to look at things. It seems like it is a very rigged system. And we're up against our break. Eric H. Jones is our guest. The website, he's the senior editor of courtroomwatch.org. That's courtroomwatch.org. And it's been a very interesting segment. And there's so much, so many different avenues we could get into from here. But we're going to let Eric stick to what he wants to get into on the other side of the break. And just a quick word for those of you who can hear us on YouTube and who are listening on YouTube. John just informed me that we're not getting any audio drop-offs from the Global Star feed. So, folks, if you are having the issues on YouTube, transition to globalstarradio.com. Go to HagmanandHagman.com, HagmanReport.com, how to listen in the drop-down tab at the top of both websites, and find the Global Star feed so you don't get those interruptions. We'll be right back with Eric Jones right after this.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the Belly of the Beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, DanielHoldings.com. That's DanielHoldings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to DanielHoldings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.